This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. Every day, the internet is inundated with more information and more data to be categorized, organized, scrubbed, and filed. Millions of minuscule tasks need to be performed each day to keep things running smoothly. Computers can do some of this mind-numbing work. Others are done piecemeal by hundreds of thousands of people for almost no money. Ellen Cushing is staff writer for the East Bay Express. She wrote about the work called microtasking, which pays a pittance, drawing comparisons to working in a sweatshop. Ellen, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Hi, thank you for having me.
What kind of work do microtaskers do?
So the classic example is on Amazon, on Amazon.com, you know, if you're buying a shoe, when you go in the shoe section, you can sort by red, pink, you know, blue, yellow, whatever. You can sort by dress shoes or sneakers or high heels. And that's just something, categorizing all of those shoes is something that an algorithm just can't do. But it's sort of too easy to pay skilled labor to do. So that's sort of the classic example of a micro task, but they really, really run the gamut. What defines them is that they are all relatively easy to do and relatively quick and completely virtual.
And it's almost like assembly line work, from what I understand, kind of mindless. You know, you just pull from one place, put it in another.
Yes, exactly. Actually, a lot of labor experts I spoke to compared it to sort of old-school factory-style assembly line stuff.
Now, most of these jobs are now crowdsourced through Amazon.com's Mechanical Turk work, so they're sort of offered out there to people who want to pick them up. Can you explain how Mechanical Turk work works, and what's with the name?
So basically, Amazon Mechanical Turk is this huge online marketplace for this kind of work. It's run by Amazon.com, and you know, if you have a task, you can put it up there, and then if you want to do a task, you can find a task to do. And there are hundreds of thousands of these tasks available at any given moment. The name is actually kind of a great story. So at, like, the end of the 18th century, when chess was this sort of worldwide pastime, I promise this is going somewhere.
I'm with you.
There was this machine kind of attraction type thing that sort of went to world's fairs and circuses and things like that. And its draw was that it was supposedly a machine that could beat any human at chess. And it beat Benjamin Franklin at chess. It was this kind of phenomenon. And it actually turned out that there was an actual human chess expert, like, crouched inside the machine moving the pieces with a magnet. And it took years to find out. So Jeff Bezos, the founder of Amazon, was sort of taken by this idea. And at the time, he was struggling with exactly how to categorize this, you know, huge warehouse of stuff he was trying to sell on Amazon. And he came up with this idea. And the whole idea is humans behaving like machines behaving like humans.
It was a good story. It was worth it.
Okay, good.
Who are these Turkers, though, Ellen? Where do they live? How do they do it? How much money do they make?
So because this is just this huge, diffuse, anonymous market, it's pretty hard to get reliable statistics on it. There's one economist at NYU. His name is Panos Iptiarodis. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. He has done a lot of research into who these people are. And as late as 2010, he found that about 47% of them were living in the United States, 34% of them were living in India, and 20% of them were living elsewhere. That has actually changed. A couple months ago, Amazon stopped allowing people with international addresses to sign up for the site as workers. But beyond that, what we know is that about half of them rely on it. About half the people who are working on Amazon Mechanical Turk rely on it for income, and about half of them rely on it for sort of supplementary spending money. But that's basically all we know. And we don't even know how reliable those statistics are.
We're talking about microtasking. That is a tedious virtual piecemeal jobs done for pennies. Ellen Cushing is a staff writer for East Bay Express, and she spoke to a lot of people about it and actually tried it out herself, which I'm curious about. You signed up for Mechanical Turk as research for the article. What were you assigned to do?
I did a couple tasks. The one that I wrote about was I was assigned to look at a scan of a business card and copy and paste the information. So, you know, the part of the business card that says the address, I had to put in an address field, and the part of the business card that says fax, I had to put in the fax field in this form. And it is exactly the kind of thing that a computer can't look at a business card and tell what's what, but a human easily can very quickly. I did it for about 10 minutes, and I think I got paid 0.04 cents. So you can see that this is really, I mean, this is literally fractions of pennies that we're talking about.
You were not going to retire on that one. But that's the thing.
Probably
not. People get paid in pennies, no benefits, no job security. Yet microtasking has a lot of advocates. Why do you think?
Well, it's interesting. I mean, one of the sort of most vexing things I found while writing this article is that there's a lot of debate and a lot of sort of people who are often on the same sides of issues really disagree about Amazon Mechanical Turk. It's sort of the same argument that you find with like physical sweatshops. You know, Nick Kristof, who is like one of the world's foremost sort of human rights thinkers, is actually in favor of sweatshops and his sort of in favor of physical sweatshops. And his argument is, you know, these people could be working at Foxconn or they could be, you know, tilling rice paddies and living in kind of like rural poverty. Mm-hmm. And it's not necessarily up to us to say which is better. I mean, we live in a globalized economy and a really stratified world, and what's sort of horrifying to progressive Americans might not be horrifying to people in developing nations. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of hard to wrap your head around.
Okay, well, just your own opinion. We've got, you know, half a minute left. I'm wondering, after working for a year on this story, what do you think of the microtasking model?
I'm honestly conflicted. I am sort of viscerally horrified by it, but I also know that there are a lot of people who are sort of working on more ethical models for it and sort of paying people a better wage and hoping that they'll get better work out of them. There's a big problem with people doing bad work on Amazon Mechanical Turk. But the main thing I do know is that this is only going to grow. This segment of the economy is only going to get bigger and bigger, and we need to figure out a way to deal with it, because the internet's growing and there's ever more information we need to categorize.
Ellen Cushing, staff writer for the East Bay Express, thanks so much for joining
us.
A lot. Now, you'll find a link to Ellen's article, Amazon Mechanical Turk, the Digital Sweatshop, at wordofmouthradio.org. And stay with us for a story of online obsession, stalking, and honor and reputation when Word of Mouth continues.